Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. You will turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 12 as we consider here about this thing of conformity, transformation, being transformed, and see what else that the Scripture has for us, the Lord has for us here, and about how that comes about and the effect of it. These things are intermingled and intertwined here together, and so let's take a look here and see what the Lord has for us in it. In Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, the Apostle Paul writes, through the inspiration of the Lord, through His Spirit, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, because of these things that He has expounded unto them and talked to them about in this book, because of those things, He says, I'm begging you, I'm pleading you. Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day, your blessings, your goodness towards us. We thank you, Father, for your people that have come out and, Lord, have a conviction to come and meet together to worship you this morning. And we thank you for the way you've blessed in the services thus far. And, Lord, help us in this service and the rest of the day, Lord, that everything that's said and done might be for your honor and your glory, and Lord, that you might accomplish in us today that which you would be pleased. Help your saints, Father, that we might be edified and strengthened, and Lord, might be shored up in your most holy faith, and Lord, we might be the church that you would be pleased with, and the pillar and ground of the truth here in this place, lifting up your word and lifting up the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us in that. We pray, Father, for those that are here this morning and not saved, Lord, that even this day would be the day of their salvation, Lord, that now that they would repent, believe, and trust in Jesus Christ. Lord, you'd open their eyes and their hearts and their ears that they might see and hear your word and your truth, Father, and that they might see Christ precious to the salvation of their souls. Help us to be a good witness to each one, and a good witness and a help one to another to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, help us to stand in you, Father, to not stand for what you say, but, Lord, to stand in you. We need you in us. We need your help. Lord, we need your strength, and we pray that you just might help us and bless us in it. Bless with your word now. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Here, we've taken a look here in verse number 2 about where the Scripture says, be not conformed to this world. And we've taken a look at our conformity dilemma and those things. We took a look last time about the Scripture goes on to say, and with that colon that's there, and the clarification, the opening up of it, he says, but ye be ye transformed. And what's the Lord say about conformity? Well, he says, be transformed. And we took a look at that transformation. The transformation, the same word used there in the New Testament about how the Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration, how he was transformed before the apostles that were there, and it was a great, great difference that was manifested. It came from within, and it worked its way out as the Lord opened up his glory. We don't have that yet. That's not been bestowed upon us. We have a promise of that, and one day we will be in a glorified body like the Lord's. But that word transforming is talking about metamorphosis, and it needs to be obvious. It needs to be plain. It needs to be exhibited to a lost and dying world round about us. We need to reflect the change that the Lord has worked in us. It works its way out. Faith and the salvation of the Lord indeed works its way out. We took a look last time about in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 about how it says that same word that's there in that last verse, that we are changed as we behold the Lord, not with a veil, like Moses had to put on the veil, but with an open face, we behold the Lord. And I think that open face, I think that we could take that and we could apply that, as the brother mentioned, about sin. Sin in our lives will cause a veil to come down over us, and we won't see the beauty and the blessing of the Lord. We won't see things as they ought to be. Sin will obscure the child of God's life, and we need to put away sin out of our lives, confess it to the Lord, repent of it, and get it right with Him. He's promised He'll forgive us. But as we look on at the Lord, we are changed into that same image. We are transformed by looking unto Him. And so the Lord says, look unto Jesus. And as His children, we certainly need to do that. It is by beholding our Savior and the things that our Savior has done, those things that are manifested to us in the Scriptures, it's by knowing Him through His Word that we will be changed, we'll be transformed, we will be touched. And so that is certainly there. We want to look on this morning how it says here, and it gives more, yet more clarity. He says, "But be ye transformed," in verse number 2 of Romans 12, "by the renewing of your mind." The renewing of your mind. We are transformed, as it says there and tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, there at the end, that we are transformed by beholding the Lord, looking unto Him. And it says here that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that's what, if we do look on at the Lord Jesus Christ, not just from the standpoint of observation, but from the standpoint of not just knowing what He does in His way, but taking that, if Jesus does it, I do it as a child of God. If Jesus behaves this way, I'm going to behave this way. If Jesus believes this way, I'm going to believe this way. If Jesus commands this, I'm on top of it. I want it. Okay? What's going to be happening to our thinking? As we behold the Lord, and we behold His instruction, we behold Him, we behold His operation, we behold His promises, we behold that which He's done, it will change our thinking. We will be renewed in our thinking. And we want to just refer to you, you know how it is in the book of James, and what the James tells us about sin, that we can't blame anything upon God, but he talks about lust when it hath conceived. You know where that happens? It happens in here somewhere. It's something about considering about the mind and the soul, the heart. All those things are in there. In maybe different ways. It seems like there's different ways in the Scripture that it's referred to. But here it says that we can be transformed, and we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Renewing. What does this word renewing mean? Well, as we take a look at it, it's talking about, and a synonym for it or an explanation for it, is talking about renovation. What was it here in 2000? There was a renovation here at the church house, wasn't it? Wasn't there? What year was that, brethren? Can you remember when it was? And does it look now like it did then? No, it's changed a bunch. Those of you that were here before, you know the great difference that there is. It was renovated, wasn't it? There was a renovation that goes on. And that's what that word renewing is talking about. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That word mind, what's that talking about? Well, in this case, it's talking about the intellect. It's talking about us, how we think, how we reason. The information that we take in and the way we evaluate that and the judgment that we make and the action that results from that. Now, we're talking about children of God, people that are saved, okay? And we're talking about how you and I operate in our what? Our conversation. Our actions are a result, our speech and what we do in our body is a result of what we think about. What are the filters? What are the rules? I know that word, the rule or law, is that something that's steered away from today. That there's a thinking that we don't need to have any rules or any laws. Well, it's we need guidance. We are to obey. And how is it that we obey if we don't know what to obey in? To know what we are to do. How we are to pursue, how we are to behave and operate. We look on at Christ. Does Christ disobey in any way? No, He does not. Nor should we. We're representatives of God, joint heirs with Christ. We should be like Him. Being like Him is manifested in this life. It's not just about what we think. And I think that there's a spirit that lurks out there and operates out there today. As long as I have the doctrine that I think and the doctrine that I believe right, everything else will be okay. No, it's only manifested in the way that you live, the way you and I live, by what we do, by where we say, I think this, or we say, the Word of God says this, and therefore I need to take this position. Or take this point of operation or pursuit. The renewing of your and my minds. Be transformed by the renewing of our mind. I want to put these together for you, and just to try to make the thing clear. In Proverbs chapter 23, this is the context of this issue at hand in the book of Proverbs, or in this chapter of Proverbs, is different than what we're talking about now. Okay, so the case that's being referenced to here is different than what we're talking about now. But what happens in this case is something that's true for every person. Proverbs chapter 23. Take a look at this. I want to take this renewing of the mind and the effect on the mind on us, our life. We do what we believe and we do what we think, and it's that way. Look here in Proverbs 23. It's putting these together, and maybe it'll help us to understand where we're going to and how things are. And Proverbs 23, verse 1. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, and see, we're not talking about that, okay? But here is a case. Consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Why? Be not desirous of his dainties. Okay, this is a man that would have, one that would have authority. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Okay, the purpose that you might enjoin them is different. His purpose is different. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. That's interesting that that's there. It's a subject for another time. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. I think it's talking about being a respecter of persons, looking to get advantage with people for the sake of gain. I think it's what's speaking to us. Eat thou, verse 6, eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. Just don't even go there. If you know he's a wicked man, if you know they're a wicked person, don't even go there for the stuff that you and I might covet after that they have. They can advantage me. Are they known to be wicked and evil? Stay away from them. Be a witness to them. But don't let yourself get tangled up with them, because it'll hurt you. It'll hurt you. Listen, verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. It says, as he thinketh, so he is. You know, and that's the way with you and I. Okay? And that's the main point about referring to this passage, is how we think, that's who we are. That's what gets manifested. What we think, what's in our hearts, what's in our minds, what we cultivate in our hearts and our minds, that's who we are. That's who we are. And the Scripture tells us we need a renovation of our minds. I want you to turn over to Titus chapter 3. Let's take a look about this renovation, this renewing. And how is that? And an example of the use of the word here in Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. And actually there is here a comparison between we that are saved and those that are not. What we've been saved from, how it was with us before the Lord saved us. Here in Titus chapter 3, in speaking and considering about this renewing of our minds, this renovation of our mind, a changing of our mind, we had a mindset that was the case before we were saved. That needs to change. That needs to change to something. It needs to be altered. It needs to be modified. It need not be the same way. Though we have the Spirit of God living within us now that we didn't have before. And the Spirit of the Lord, we need to yield to His leadership and yield to His instruction and His teaching and His moving within us, that we not think that old way, but our mind operates in this new way. In this way that is indicated here and the usage of the word here. Titus chapter 3, verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities, talking about the saints, and powers, and to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers. Now, I want to say something about that speaking evil of no man. That's not talking about telling the truth. Okay? I've talked to you about gossip and how it is with gossip. Do we tell a thing that we know about somebody in order to cause them harm? Or do we tell it to inform others or to warn others or to just tell and stand in the truth? Okay? When we work a thing to try to bring somebody down and drag them down for the sake of being malicious or for the sake of being evilly entreating them, that's a thing that's manifested and that's working in the heart. When we speak, what's our purpose in speaking? Do we want to warn a brother? Do we want to help a sister? Or do we want to stir something up? Okay? We need to watch that. That's a difference between information that's appropriate for the time and the setting and the thing at hand and gossip. Okay? When it says speak evil of no man, if he's guilty of being a robber and he's getting close to your brother or sister, warn him that he is a robber. Okay? That's not speaking evil of him. He decided to be the thief. Okay? He decided to be the thief. Okay? And it's not talking about that. It's talking about harm that we can cause with our mouth and our tongue when it is not due them at all. If he's not a thief, I don't need to be going around and telling that he is. All right? If he says a thing, I don't need to be going around and changing what he says. That's being evil. That's speaking evil. Speak evil, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, ready to go to Fistville, but gentle, showing all meekness, self-control, even though we might have the ability to do a thing, that we might be meek, unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. We had aspects and our way of life before we were saved. Our whole life was no God. That's the definition of the fool. No God. We had that in our life, for we sometimes were foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust or desires and pleasures, living in malice, that's getting them back more than they got me, okay, so I can be back on the upper hand, and envy, jealousy, and such, envy or jealousy to the point of hurting, hateful and hating one another. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, it's not talking about one point in time. You that were here Wednesday night, or Wednesday night and Sunday night, it's not talking about just one point in time that happened out there at 1156 A.D. It's talking about the point in your life, right, when the Lord visited you, when the Lord saved you. Do you remember that? After the kindness and love of God, our Savior, to you appeared, when the Lord visited you and saved you, when the Word of God and the truth of God's Word and your condition before Him and what the Lord Jesus Christ did for sinners, when that got real to you, you remember that? We need to. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. See, He's talking about a personal thing. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. It's talking about when we were before we were saved and after we were saved. And did you see it there in verse number 5? In verse number 5, it says, not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. By the washing of regeneration, He made us alive through the work of the Spirit and the Word, and renewing, there's that word, all right? Renewing of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God has visited us and changed our thinking, changed our attitude, changed our desire, showed us that we were guilty, showed us Christ, and we were given faith that we might believe, and that faith is exercised in us. In us. That renewing, that renovation. We went from not considering all this about the Word of God and the Bible. That's just for religious folks. I'm not religious. To where it went from meaning nothing to meaning everything. Because it showed us our need of Christ. Renewing. Renewing by the Holy Ghost. Take a look at Luke 11 as we consider about this word renewing. Luke chapter 11. The Lord Jesus Christ, He brings this. He's being accused of things. The Lord Jesus Christ has lied on pretty much all of His ministry. And then after that, and He brings this instruction to the people that are there to tell about what happens in salvation. And also what he is doing there amongst them. And in Luke chapter 11, verse number 14, let's read. And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. We know how he does it. He's doing it by the power of Satan, the one that's over all those demons. He's doing it by his power. And others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, listen. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. You ever find anybody that fought a war, that went out and took and killed their own soldiers to be able to make it look like some advantageous thing to the enemy so that they could somehow trick them into winning? No. You don't kill your own. You don't take your own and sacrifice them outright. He said that would be foolish. That would be unheard of. He says if Satan's kingdom is going to stand, he cannot be kicking out his own. If I by Beelzebub, verse 19, cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Because see, the Lord Jesus Christ and the miracles that he worked and the demons that he cast out of many was so prolific above and beyond any that are mentioned in the scripture and any that were even known of that day to be able to do such. They may have cast out a few, but the Lord Jesus Christ cast out many upon many upon many. They may have been able to cast out few with great travail and even if it would be one that would be sent of the Lord to do so. It took much work and effort, if you will, in regards to prayer. You remember how Elijah prayed about the rain, and he went back, and he went back, and he went back. The Lord blessed and worked, okay? But the Lord Jesus Christ, he cast them out. He says, go out of them and don't come back. They went out, and they didn't come back, okay? And so that's, he says, if I cast it out by Satan, you're saying that I'm using the power of Satan to do so, then how is it with your sons? How do they do so? What by what power, if you give me credit? He's taking them in their own words. But if I, verse 20, with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. Listen to how it works. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. You got a man, he's strong. He keeps his place there with his stuff and everything. Everything's great, right? But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. The strong man's there, but when somebody stronger than him comes, he'll even take that he uses to defend himself. Take that off of him and then go in there and spoil the stuff that he's guarding and keeping for himself. That's the way that it works. The stronger is able to overcome the weaker. Verse 23. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When an unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest. And finding none, he saith, I will return into my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. And then goeth he, and taketh unto him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. We're talking about renewing of the mind, the renovation of the mind. We looked in Titus chapter 3 how the Lord says that he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. It says here in this that the Lord is giving to those that are there in that time of his ministry, he says, the stronger one wins. He says, I'm stronger than all. And when I come in and take up shop, when I come in and visit the center, there's no room for anybody else. I come and stay. The renewing of the Holy Ghost, the salvation of the Lord by his sending of his Spirit into sinners and enlightening us, quickening us, and saving us. Is it not a great salvation that the Lord has bestowed upon us in his great and mighty and marvelous works, his manifold wisdom? Should not we be interested in the renewing of our mind? Amen? Yeah, amen. The Lord's serious about it. We, indeed, need to be serious about it. Renewing, renovation. Like the Lord comes in and He saves us and He cleans up and nobody else. There's not one stronger than He. He can't. No one else can move in. How about in our lives? Are we interested in taking our minds and having them renewed? Let's go on and take a look here about the mind. The mind says we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. The mind. In Ephesians chapter 4, we see a carnally affected mind. Take a look here. You're familiar with this. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 17, it said we might understand about the mind. We tried to take a look here and understand about this word renewing, the renovation that needs to be taking place in us. We see about how it is spiritually with the Lord saving us and how He comes in and occupies within us. But our old mind is not saved. Okay? The mind did not get saved. The soul has been saved. And if you will, in a sense, we're left there with the mind and the old man to deal with him, and we are to be about renewing him. Will the Lord help us? Yes, He will help us. But we need to be actively participating in that. If we just sit back and do nothing, which we will do something. But if we tend to and pursue after our old ways that we had before we were saved, our mind won't be in any better shape than it was before, will it? And we need to renew our minds, because that's how we're transformed. That's how we're changed. That's how we're a witness for the Lord. A carnally affected mind is indicated here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth, from now on, walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. What's that mean? It means empty. A vain mind is empty. BBs rattling around. Clack a clack a clack a clack. Don't be of an empty mind. It's the way it was before. It was vain. All that we had in our mind before was vain. He says, don't do that. I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to unto lasciviousness, sensual desire beyond and perverse even more, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, right? Thinking, speaking, and doing. The old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And what's it say? And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Renovate. Put out the stinking thinking. Brother Daryl Titus had a message years and years ago that he preached, stinking thinking. Okay, and we're not talking about the psychological changing of the person, you know, by just thinking positive thoughts. That won't work. We're talking about people that have been blessed with salvation by the Lord. We have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, His Spirit, the Spirit of God dwelling within us, left with this old body and living in the old mind. We have the ability, we have the power through Christ that this old mind can be renewed. But how are we going to deal with this world that just pelts us with things that doesn't want it to be renewed? Doesn't want it to be helped? Remember, this whole world caters to the old man. Caters to him. We were perfectly comfortable in this world before the Lord saved us, weren't we? Did we not enjoy it? Wasn't it great in every respect? Till the light started shining, till the Lord started opening our eyes. He opened our ears that we could hear Him. And be renewed, be renovated in the spirit of your mind. Verse 23, verse 24, and that ye put on the new man. It says in verse 22, put off concerning the former conversation, and put on, verse 24, the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We're called to a righteous service, brothers and sisters, to be holy like our God is holy. To not hang on to the junk and the things of this world and the thinking and the way of this world. To not flirt with the edge of keeping God happy but enjoying all the stuff over here. No, but to put that stuff off and follow after the Lord and be close to Him. A carnally affected mind we need not have within us. Not an empty mind. Romans chapter 1. Here, these that are godless, that are described here, this is where paganism and idolatry leads to. You know about this account. In Romans chapter 1, verse number 28, listen to what God did and has done and is doing to those that turn away, this threefold giving up of the Lord that He does with those that want to take who He is and change it and then pursue after the lust of the flesh. And change the way that God has indicated that men should live to honor and glorify the name of their Creator. And this threefold giving up here we see in Romans chapter 1, verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, do you and I as His children, do we want to take and retain God in our knowledge and our thinking? Every day of the week? When you get up in the morning till you go down and sleep at night? Do you like thinking about God? We need to. We should. And the thing is, the more we think about God and we muse about God and consider about God and look into His Word and sing praises to His name and fill up on Him, the more we'll like it. But if carnality has crept in and we've catered to the mind and the old man and fed it with the junk of this world, there's going to be not a desire to pursue after the things of God. It's going to be a desire, we're cultivating a desire to keep on growing briars. But don't you want to grow good fruit in the Lord? Well, you got to cultivate a garden, brothers and sisters. It's got to be. Amen? Even as they did not like to retain God of their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. You know what a reprobate mind is? A mind that wickedness comes up and they're thrilled and enjoy that, and then looking for even a greater height of wickedness coming up. When the truth is facing that reprobate mind right in the face, they reject it and then are blasphemous against it and defy the Word of God and just turn against it even more. A reprobate mind. Reprobate in every way. Away from God to do those things which are not convenient. A carnally affected mind. 1 Timothy chapter 6. By the renewing, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And if 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 5, we see here let's back up to verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmisings. That's taking the Word of God where it says plainly this and saying, well, if you go ahead and do this and go ahead and do that, we can take it and justify it to where it'll be this. No, that won't work, and that surely will not please the Lord. He's proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, and railings, evil surmisings. Listen, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. How did this start out? By rejecting what God says simply in His Word. Isn't that what the passage we just read? It started off about the Word of God being there and it not being received, not being accepted. And that is rejected and refused. And fought against by a corrupt mind. It perverse disputings of men, of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth. Listen, this is something that prevails in our day, supposing that gain is godliness. If I'm wealthy, a wealthy church, well, if the church is well able to support missionary after missionary and pastor after pastor that's at these weaker churches, then everything's got to be great. Is it? Is it? Maybe it is, maybe it's not. Is what's held in esteem as the way to bring in the money so that ministry might abound? Or is what's important to stand for the truth? Because you know what? The Lord doesn't give a lick about money. But He cares much about the truth, does He not? Isn't that what His churches are supposed to be? The pillar and ground of the truth? The pillar, the support, and the prop of the truth? Yes. Yes. Supposing that gain is godliness, what to say? From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. The carnally affected mind. The carnally affected mind. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 24. And the whole thing of prayer, brothers and sisters, it's a prayer is that which we've been blessed with that closes the loop for us in this service. God is in control of all things, and He has all power, as He's told us and promised in His Scriptures that He does. You and I, we're, as His children, are called to serve Him, in the context of the messages that we're looking at, we are called to renew our minds. We're called to do it. But how can we? Well, to obey the Lord. We are called to do a thing, and we are told to do it by the Word of God. And so then when we take a look and say, well, how can we do it? Well, when we look to ourselves, we can't do it. But when we're given a command by the Lord to pursue a thing, how is it that we are able to accomplish it? By going right back into the Word that gave it to us. By going back and seeking the face of the One that has commanded us to do so. And you know, how is it that we entreat Him and petition Him to help us to do what He's given us to do? By prayer. By prayer and by the instruction that's in His Word. Not of our own ability and our own strength. And as we've considered about a carnally affected mind, that we might understand about the mind, the renewing of the mind. We took a look about renewing or renovation of the mind. And taking a look at the carnally affected mind, which we all understand. Just to give you a taste here and just a beginning and a point of consideration in the coming week. The spiritually affected mind is going to be helped only in this way. In Luke chapter 24, here is the Lord has been with His disciples after His resurrection. I want you to see here in verse number 44. In Luke 24, verse 44, and He, that is Jesus Christ, said unto them, listen, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. What was it? About His resurrection, that He was going to raise from the dead. These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and written in the prophets, and written in the Psalms, concerning me, concerning Himself. Listen. Then opened He their understanding. You know what that word understanding is? It's the same word as mind. It's the same word there we see in Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, the renewing of our mind, the renewing of our understanding. Then He opened their understanding that what? That they might understand the Scriptures. See that? We can never take a thing and lay it off on the Lord that, well, the Lord didn't do this for me or the Lord didn't do that for me. Because you know what? The Lord has made promises to His children that if we'll pursue Him and pursue those promises, He'll bless and He'll give us those. That's the reason the promise is there. But see, if we, in this life for the Lord, in this saved life, if we don't avail ourselves to that instruction and to what the Lord has given us to do and pursue, we won't have the blessing that He promises with it. Is it possible for you to not, as a child of God, not renew your mind? Mm-hmm. If you don't pursue it and ask the Lord to help you in doing it. But have you and I not been told that our mind, our thinking needs to be renewed? We have. And will we be able to? Yes. If we pursue the Lord and His Word. We pursue Him. Draw nigh to the Lord. Right? If that's not written to the children of God, I don't know who it's written to. Draw nigh to the Lord while He is near, and He'll draw nigh unto you. That's a promise. And our minds can be renewed. We're going to stop right there for this morning and just consider this, and we'll take a look more at the spiritually affected mind and how it is that we are to renew our minds. We consider our text, I beseech you therefore, brethren, in Romans 12, verse 1, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We took a look there about we have a great desire within us to be accepted. We want to be accepted as the Lord's children. Is there anyone greater than the Lord, your Savior, that you want to be accepted by? There shouldn't be. I want to be accepted of Him. I'm not talking about my salvation. That's secure and steadfast in Christ. He loves me. He loves you if He saved you. That's done. He'll always love you. He always has loved you. But now in living for Him for the rest of that time, we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Not feed ourselves, as we'll see next Sunday, Lord willing, not feeding ourselves with the thinking of this world. We feed ourselves with thinking of this world. That's the way we'll think. But feed ourselves with the thinking of the Lord. And we'll begin to think like Him if we feed ourselves in that. Renew our minds. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, this hasn't necessarily been a message to you. You do need your thinking changed. You're a guilty sinner, wicked before God, lost and condemned and hopeless. That's the shape that you're in. You have no avenue, no remedy for your situation, your sin, the condemnation that rests squarely on you, the hell that you're heading for. You have no remedy whatsoever that you can find in anything, any way of yourself and anybody that's on this earth. There's only one remedy for your problem, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man. It's in Him. And you need to come to Him. You need to receive Him. You need to believe in Him. You need to trust in Him. Those are the words of the Scripture. You're guilty and you're condemned and you have no hope. But you know what in Christ? He'll change you. He'll save you. Believe in Him. And we point you to Him.